Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
episode 2 of the man religion. And it's certainly a fascinating religion in terms of my religion of permutation and mixing up and things. So, added into the actual goes religion. It's got to use the religion is rather good. It's a and essentially it's, I want to solve my life through conventional means. I'm not rich enough. I can solve it through the spirit world, and I go through the process of doing it. So there's lots of beautiful things. There's the channeling the spirit of a child, sailor. There's so many ambitions it didn't pick up. Rather complex dream, the interesting the fact that it's got several Virgin Marys. It really indicated a saint, all that bad stuff like that. I have to read it. Yes, I've left my glasses inside, so I'm going to struggle through and read it without my glasses. Is after the vagrant detection. Let's pause for a second. Well, any prizes for guessing what glasses were? I went inside, and yes, they were on top of my head to try and get it going. And this, I suppose, gets to me as I read this, and I have to memorize and go back or recall what I'm doing. It's, you know, you read one article and memorize things from another article on it, so that's good. It's slowly improving. A remarkable, the suddenly spurts of improvement. I can suddenly type a lot faster after doing lots of little practices of typing, rather than copying things, thinking something and typing. It's getting it going. So the overall aim of this, you might be entertained by it all. I don't think so. But the aim of myself is just brain exercises. Who knows whether they're working? It's sort of a major. There's so many. Say there's 30 things to improve. I think I'm working on number 19, but number 27 and number 8 gets improved, and then improving allows other things to improve, which were being held back. It's a real hard thing. So What's here is that you've got this Brazilian dictator, and they've said, look, we're going to venerate you. This is the most amazing thing. This guy who was a Barbosa football player got their saint. Got knocked out. He was a football player and he was a part of the Mbanda religion and got knocked out. So this is amazing. It's sort of white magic spirits, the idea that spirits can inhabit and organize things to happen. It's pretty amazing. And dare I say, as a scientist, you set up a exquisitely impressive electron detection thing. So this would detect the most smallest width of an electric field of any motion, a random event. There's no capacity for spirituality or violation of entropy or conservation of mass or chances. No possibility of it whatsoever. So it's interesting this has flourished. And it's really interesting that your thought systems, your thought systems can be your own prisoner. yet people's skepticism, which is they have the image of knowledge without the actual knowledge. They have the prohibitions of a field of knowledge, which we all have to. We know not to put diesel petrol in our car because it's a prohibition. We don't necessarily, not many people know the difference between normal petrol and diesel. They don't know that basis, but they go into prohibition. So there's no problem with going in prohibitions, especially in a sufficiently highly advanced society. However, these people don't know the prohibition of miracles and chance and spirit stuff that we would have, therefore have a far more creative take on things. So this person... it's become a religious saint. It's almost as though any activity in any environment will create the necessary components for a religion. So this person is a Jesus Christ. He got knocked off. Now there's a dictator who's therefore just an achingly horrible. I was just trying to think, I've forgotten the dates that he's there for, but it's like an enormous period of time, so all your time in Brazil. It's interesting that we didn't get any of this dictatorship and any of this information from watching the Rio de Janeiro games. Okay, and I'm just knobbing off these mosquitoes which are hitting me at the moment. Okay, in the latter half of the 20th century, Umbara grew rapidly among the transformation of the Candomblé, and that was first noticed in Bahá'í. So Bahá'í is a province, and Candomblé is some sort of religious sect. I don't know where that comes from. The independence of Terras of Umbanda started to unite themselves in federations to strengthen position against discrimination by the police. The end of Greta Vera's dictatorship, the establishment of democracy in 1945, advanced, that's right, from the 30s to 45, advanced the religion's freedom environment. In 53, two Umbanda's federations were founded in São Paulo. Now, apparently, from my viewpoint, São Paulo is a huge, unfettered megatropolis. Like, it's bigger than big. So Brazil's one of these phantomly big countries with huge population, huge area, and possible to understand. Okay, however, Umbanda cults were still looked on by suspicion by police department that demanded a compulsory registration of terrors. Only in 1964 this obligation was released, and a just civil registration in the public notoriety was required. And just, you had to notify, which I sort of expect. Like, if the police have to, you notify a football club or some sort of structure. At the end, the populist character in politics in Brazil's between 45 and 64, with the start of a military dictatorship, bloody hell, supported the expansion of Umbanda. Then politicians became usual attendants at terrorists, especially before the elections. Bloody hell, isn't that amazing? Research conducted by anthropologists, amazing. Meanwhile, some non-Brazilian scholars, including French sociologist Roger Bastide, from 38 to 57, and professor of sociology at the University of São Paulo, produced sympathetic accounts of Umbanda and defended the practitioner's right to religious freedom. Bastide believed that the Umbanda, unlike the Candomblé, had a bright future in Brazil and may eventually become a mainline religion. So what the Candomblé sounds like, some sort of black magic religion. Research conducted by anthropologist Lisa Noriega Negro and Maria Helena Koken revealed in the 1940s in São Paulo had around 58 religious organizations registered as Umbala Terrace. About 803 declared themselves as spiritualism systems. In the 1950s, positions inverted. 105, 25 organizations declared them terrorists and 845 spiritual centers, and only one Candomi Terrier, the Apex, was during the 1970s with 7,625 terrorists. I don't really quite understand. So, whatever Candomi, I don't know what religion that is. I don't understand it. The period of the 50s and 70s was the prime of the Mbada religion. Police repression decreased, the number of followers soared, but the Catholic Church opposition increased. An intense religious campaign against the Mbada cult was conducted. In the pulpits and the press, Mbada received criticism from the Catholic Church, which disagreed with the worship of spirits and the comparison of the Mary Mbadalus made between Catholic saints and Oxasis. Wow. Especially if you've got two, you know, you're nailing two Virgin Marys. Despite the criticisms, even today, many Mbala members also claim to be devout Catholics as well. After the Vatican Council II, the Catholic Church sought to excommunicate or ecumenical or tolerant reactions with traditional religions. Okay. Opposition. In 1974, Mbala practitioners, including declared and undeclared, were estimated to be about 330 million, and the population of 120 million Brazilians. That's a lot. So there you go. The Brazil's population is sort of like one of these hidden. You know, you've got China, India, and then coming back, you've got Russia and United States, but then there's these tier states which are going to explode, like Brazil and Indonesia. After the 1970s, Mbada cults began to be opposed, but Pentecostal, evangelical Pentecostal churches have begun attempting to evangelize and, in some cases, persecute practitioners of Mbada and other traditional religions. Mbada practitioners have taken cases to national courts to achieve high measure of success. In 2005, the Supreme Court, whatever it is, won a judicial case in the federal case against the television broadcasting systems Reed Recording and Reed Mulher, that belong to the, whatever it is, a neo-Pentecostal church. The public attorney, Minister Pablico, denounced the television programs that treated traditional religions as derogatory and discriminatory way. Well, I might have a few lawsuits against me. Today, the 2000 Brazilian census, half a million Brazilians declare them as ambassadors, a 20% drop in the relative to the 91 census. Many people attend the terrorists in Mbada seeking counselling and healing, but they do not consider themselves Mbandistas. Despite all the troubles, past and present, Mbada remains strong and renovated in Brazilian main cities like Rio de Janeiro, the greatest concentration of Mbandalists, São Paulo, the second greatest. After the 70s, Porto Rico, the capital of Rio Grande do Sul, and southernmost Brazilian state, became the base of expansion of Mbada into Argentina and Uruguay. Today, Mbada's followers can be found in the United States and America as well, of course. This syncretic religious practice known as Santo Dame, founded in the 1930s by Rumo Irecira, has been incorporating elements of Mbada in its ritual, especially the line called Mbandamim, used as Ayahuasca, as an important aspect of their ceremonies. Well, there you go. That's chapter 2. Unfortunately, I had to break for lunch and get across. And hopefully I'm improving in my cognitive rehab. You know, I think there's obviously the rehab from the brain stuff and trying to get your brain together. But in essence, this sheer confusion and different things coming together is out there as well. It's not just inside a person, it's in organisations. And I think when you really ask yourself, in a society, you know, 100 years hence, if someone was an Umbanda or a Pentecostalist, would it really matter? Would the energy they're expending between the two of them really have an effect in the long term? And the Umbandalist feels as though, I have a problem, I just don't sit on it and let it stew. It's sort of getting your psychological laundry out for everyone to see. It's sort of got this communal, sort of like a communal computer. There's a whole series of people not doing what we see as logical steps, but there's a whole lot of people doing functions and sort of communal thought of something. So if I have a problem, it is articulated into a church, into a group problem. There's that boundary between the individual and the group. Whereas if you're in the Pentecostalists and you have a real doubt, you, because it's censured, because it's all so rigid, you'd keep it to yourself and you wouldn't think your way through problems. So I think there is a message here that this is a very successful religion for various reasons, and it basically harvests a whole lot of background cultures, the Afro culture, the Indian spiritual culture, and you know, gives articulation to ideas that simply would not form in someone who's religiously trained. For every aspect you train someone to be able to perceive, say essentially you have some data and you have a person and you have a trained person, so that trained person can suddenly perceive certain aspects of data and then process it and add value to it. So that's what we want to do with education. However, a lot of that means that a lot of things happen. There's certain patterns they can't see, and there's certain relationships they can no longer have because of it. It's sort of this dangerous thing. Well, thanks a lot for listening, and I'll get on. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.